I will get that right one day. Good evening.
There he is.
Hello. Good evening. Good Welcome evening. To the 12-man podcast. Stop saying evening. How are we doing? You all right?
All good, yeah, mate.
Good, good. Yes, welcome to the 12-man podcast. What?
Are you okay? Because just before you were introducing us, you were rocking your head there, added some music, or you had some water in your ear, and I wasn't sure which.
A bit of both. get myself in the groove for tomorrow. That place is going to be bouncing tomorrow. I can't wait.
Ants in his pants. He's too excited.
Oh, I'm way too excited. Way too excited.
It is.
Yes.
It's going to be fantastic.
It's going to be a great night. I can't wait. Yes, welcome to the 12-man podcast. Live, if you're listening to us or watching us now, on Facebook. Wave puppets. There we go.
Hello.
There you go. If you're listening at 4 in the morning on your Spotify or whatever you want to listen to us, we're not live. I don't sit here live waiting for you to listen. But thank you for listening. Yes, we're going to talk. Well, I'm Steve Jackson, firstly. I better introduce myself. I'm the main man in the chair. Got Mr. John Donovan with me. Evening, JD.
Hello, boys. You all right?
Yeah, we're doing good, mate. We're doing good. And special guest, entrepreneur, artist, legend, Mr. Graham Bandera is with us. Evening, Bandy.
Too kind, Jacko. Evening, pal. Evening, John. You all right?
Yeah, great. Thanks, Bandy.
Oh, well, I'm not too kind, mate. I'm not too kind. You are a legend. And thank you so much for popping on again. Always good to chat to you.
Pleasure. I love coming on.
We love having you on. So, obviously, I'll catch you every other game. So, you know, it's good to have a chat and have a sit down. And, yeah, we'll talk about what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about Villa. We're going to talk about transfer news, and we're going to talk about a certain semi-final tomorrow night, which I'm really excited about. But before I do that, I'll let our final guy in. He's just going to join us really quickly. He's taking his time, so I'll introduce him in a minute. Facebook will know what's coming on. But yeah, we're going to talk Chelsea, finally. Get to preview of the Chelsea game. I've been looking forward to doing this for weeks. So, yeah, very much looking forward to that. Here he is. Man number four, Jamie Delgado. Evening, Dally.
No, boys, all right.
Hey, what's up, mate? Yeah,
all right, Jamie.
All good, mate.
Yeah, sorry, a bit of a tech issue there. My apologies.
No tech issue here, mate. But, yes, you haven't missed anything, so don't worry about it. It's all good. JD, I'll start with you, because... we'll start on a bit of a sad note. Obviously, before the game on Saturday, we found out we lost Keith Lamb, the man that everybody knows for the fax machine, the man behind all the signings that we made, Steve Gibson's right-hand man for many years before Bowser came in. Yeah, just reflect on his time at the Borough, if you can.
Well, he was obviously... pivotal being the chief exec, he had a pivotal position, and he was he was responsible for, shall we say, the Riverside Revolution, to call it that, the overseeing of moving to our new ground and getting the playing staff to shall we say shine in that brand new stadium. That was his role, and he was key. I mean, he was often lambasted on social media as sort of primitive as it was then. He was still getting pelters for not doing things that fans thought he should have been doing. But to be honest, you know, Gibbo trusted him, and he delivered by and large. He was a central figure in, shall we say, the rapid rise of the club from Ayrton Park to the Riverside. There's a song there somewhere.
And I thought you were going to start singing to me there. But no, you're absolutely right. He was one of the first people I saw at the club when I was growing up. As you rightly said there, he brought in some fantastic players. Ravinelli, Janino, you know, brought in that revolution of the Riverside era, and yeah, it was sad news when it came out on just before the weekend. I thought pretty sad one, and he was remembered quite well by the club as well. So, yeah, massive loss for the club. Well, yeah, massive loss for the club, massive loss for the community. There's some funny stories going about social media as well. I think Jeff Stelling told one. Jeff
about the jacket.
Yeah, he couldn't get any place in the arm, and Keith Lamb had two jackets on. You know,
of course
what I mean?
He did.
As you do.
Perfect.
Exactly. So
poor old Lamy, he had that, you know, unenviable task of being the money man at the club, and he was in charge of sort of sorting contracts out. He often got a lot of stick for letting contracts dwindle down, but I just think that was his position, really. He had to be frugal. He didn't want to see the club in any sort of financial danger. He did a lot of running around for Gibbo. And I think we just got to remember him as a good guy who did his utmost for the club. He was the butt of many jokes on social media. I'm sure he would have seen half of them and took that in good light. The fax machine was the obvious one. not getting contracts and deals over the line, you know, letting things, you know, dwindle down till midnight and deals not going through at the last minute. So, but we've also got to remember, you know, the players he brought in. That famous picture of him out in Brazil, sat at the table with Janinho and Robbo, and you know that's iconic, is that picture. When you bring in players of that calibre, he deserves a massive pat on the back. So God rest his soul. Well done, Lamy.
Yeah, exactly.
That picture was brilliant. I remember I thought to myself, it was very clever of them to take a kid's butter shirt over there to get Janinho to wear for the signing.
Brilliant.
Very good, very good.
I think that was one of the times where we didn't really know much about the deal. There was no social media then, so there was no scurrilous rumours. All of a sudden it just pops up and, you know, back page of the Gazette or Look North or Time Tees, and there they are, out in Brazil, in Sao Paulo, getting the magic man.
And all of a sudden they're going off a plane in Teesside. It's, mental. But
It was a wonderful round of applause he got on Saturday from all fans, Villa fans, Borough fans. It was really good. I just looked around and everybody, every stand was applauding him. So it was good to see.
Yeah, and well deserved as well. It's helped build the club to where it is today. So yeah, obviously I had to give him a mention before we started anything. So right, Aston Villa. If you listened last week and you listened to our predictions, I mean, firstly, I'm going to apologise. My God. I got it massively wrong. I mean, I didn't get the outcome wrong, but I got it massively wrong. But, JD, the team came out, because we were contemplating, you know, do you think about Tuesday or before you think of Saturday, or what kind of team do you pick? But one boost, I saw it as a boost anyway, Hayden Hackney straight in and giving the captain's armband as well.
Yeah, good move, you know, clever move. And I was surprised to see him start. But when the team came out, I was also surprised to see two left-backs in the starting lineup.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought it was quite a strong lineup, considering we've got a massive game tomorrow. I thought it was quite a strong lineup, and I was quite pleased. I was sat having a pint in Christie's in town when the team come out, so I was sat there and we were just discussing, you know, what you're going to do with the two left backs that he's picked, and we were just trying to work out the formation. But we were quite pleased with it by and large.
Absolutely. I mean, I'll just put a disclosure out there straight away. There are other of ours available in Middlesbrough. Just want to say that straight away. Bandy, what did you think of the team when it came out?
Was surprised because he's normally quite rigid with his 4-2-3-1. But I just think he looked at Villa and thought they've just got too much going forward, so he needed to shore it up, get an extra couple of midfielders in there, and use the wing backs as extra midfielders, really. But like you're saying, that left hand side was particularly strong. Engel's got this beautiful knack of being able to play balls to feet quite quickly and sharply, and Bangura was onto them straight away, so he, you know, led a merry dance down that left side. He was great. And there was a beautiful balance on the right with Jones, who got forward as well. And he had adequate cover, you know, with Van der Berg. So I think that system worked well. And it wouldn't surprise me if he goes with that again against Chelsea tomorrow night. I think he will. His comments after the game were very, very positive, and I think the players actually surprised him as well. It was, I wouldn't say it was a negative formation, but it was just, you know, a lot of supporters were going into that game quite worried, really, what Villa were going to do to us, and they stood up tall. I thought they were terrific. Probably one of the best displays I've seen this season, and I'd pair that with maybe Leicester at home in terms of just when the opposition had the ball, we were just plugging them little gaps, so they weren't able to penetrate in between the lines, and the game plan was executed to perfection, really. Played the ball wonderfully through midfield, little trio of Ballaza, Housen and Hackney. I thought they were exceptional. Housen came in, when he came on, he just slotted straight in. But Ballaza and Hackney in particular, they were fantastic. Playing little triangles through midfield. And obviously the wing-backs were supporting them and getting forward.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought it was one of Ballaza's best games on Saturday. I thought he played really well. Jamie, what did you think of the team on Saturday? You pretty much the same as the boys?
Yeah, I was going in, I'll be honest with you, I wasn't particularly confident at all, if I'm honest, and that's no disrespect to the team, but I think I'd just watched Sunderland get beat earlier in the day, and you could see the gulf in class between the Premier
Look
League.
Look at the smiles on all our faces.
Well, you could see the gulf, which was, for me, in that game was huge. And then when I saw the team, a bit like John, where two left backs, how's that going to work? How are we going to play? And I think he got that right. We had, Bangura one side, Jones the other, and I think it gives that bit of pace. But yeah, I was more than happy, and I think that, the world of difference that we see with Ballaza when he's playing next to Hackney. We've said previously, he can't play with Housen. The two similar, and I think that they complement each other really well. So yeah, I was more than happy with the team.
Yeah, it was a good team. I was really happy with it when I saw it. I thought it was a good mix. I think we recognise the dangers they've got on their right as well. Leon Bailey's such a good player, and even when he's not on the pitch, they could swap him out for Moussa Diaby, which is, yeah, it's scary the options they had, which we saw in the second half. But highlights wise, there wasn't a great deal. I didn't feel that first half we were tested a great deal. They passed around us, and they passed like along the box quite a lot, but I don't feel like they got in too much. I thought it was always a bit, they were missing the last bit of the jigsaw, the last pass was missing, and I thought first half we dealt with them quite well, and obviously it took us a little bit of time to get into the game, and then until obviously Rodgers tested Martinez. But I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, lads, but I thought first half we were quite comfortable.
Yeah, it was very much like the Leicester game, where we let them have the ball, but not in dangerous areas. As soon as they got to a certain point, we closed them down. I wasn't sort of biting my nails or worried extensively in the first half. I thought it was fairly even. I thought we contained them, and I was hopeful second half, we could have gone on to sort of to maybe even win the game ourselves. It was okay. First half was good.
Yeah, definitely. Bandy, what were you going to say?
Yeah, I think John's touched on it, man. The thing for me was the focus and the concentration. And they were just determined not to lose that game. Whether or not it would have gone to a replay, who knows whether that would have been a good thing for us in terms of playing another game. But in the end, I don't think too many people were too bothered by the actual defeat. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
In a perverse kind of way, the last thing we need at the moment is another game against high-calibre opposition with a very, very threadbare squad. So it was just good that we're on TV. A lot of people were watching it. The crowd was half decent in the end. Villa brought good numbers, so it made for quite a spectacular occasion, really. I loved it. I really enjoyed it. It's them sort of knife-edge games, which I quite like, where we were still in the game on 86 minutes before they scored, and we could have equalised as well, just not long after they scored. So it was a really, really good game, and one which will live long in the memory for a lot of reasons.
Yeah, definitely.
Like I say, you come away from a defeat, and you were quite pleased with the performance, because Dali, like you said, Graham, that there was a lot of fans, shall we say, anticipating a pretty easy result for Aston Villa and a pretty embarrassing one for us. But that it didn't turn out that way.
No.
I was pleased with the performance. I would have liked for us to have won. Obviously, the last thing I wanted was a replay. But a one nil defeat from a deflected goal 3 minutes from the end. Mm. You know, you'll walk away and look at our performance and you'll think, well, yeah, okay, we done well. I mean, they're flying. I know they had two or three players missing, but they're flying in the Premier League. So
you can see the panic from Emery towards the end, where he brought four big guns on, and obviously it worked for him. It did turn the game, but it didn't look like they were going to get that until they came on, and then they just sort of turned the screw the last few minutes. But you know, we could leave with our heads held high. I thought it was tremendous. And if we can take that attitude, we can take loads of organisation into Chelsea game, then we've got a hell of a chance to take a good result back to the Stamford Bridge. I really believe that. I don't think we're going into that game as serious underdogs. I've seen some comments today from Pochettino, and he's lauding us up. So there is a sense of worry from the Chelsea camp, because you know they're not firing this season at all. I don't think he knows his best team at the moment. So be a bit brave of me to say they're there for the taking. But if you want to play Chelsea, you're better off playing them this season as opposed to any of the others in the future.
Yeah, definitely. I think that with the game, again, I didn't go in very confident at all. It was kind of it's the FA Cup, let's see what happens. But let's be honest, we've all got one eye on Tuesday against Chelsea. Mm. And as the game grew, I mean, you know, fresh in the mind was the defeat against Coventry, which the second half worried me going into Saturday against Villa. But I just think that you know, the changes he made, we grew into the game, and as the game went on, you could kind of feel the confidence for Tuesday a little bit more. And I think you could see that when he took Hackney off. I know he's been out injured, but he kind of got the impression, yeah, he's been injured, he's been out, but we need you for Tuesday. You've done your job, you've done well. You're right, you know, Emery brought the big hitters on. They didn't want a replay. And I just got the feeling as well that when you look at our subs that we brought on, we didn't really want the replay in the opposite way, because, you know, when they're bringing on Ollie Watkins, who's banging goals in left, right and centre, and we bring on, with all due respect to him, Hayden Coulson, who hasn't kicked the ball in anger, and Alex Gilbert, you're kind of thinking, we don't want the replay. But I'd said to one of the lads, it puts them in the window, and obviously subsequently today Coulson's gone to Blackpool. But it does give you that edge of confidence, because I know that, Steve, we spoke previously about, and you were saying how you fancy, you know, with us playing Chelsea the way they played at Wolves. I haven't really watched them that much this year, if I'm honest with you. I haven't watched much Premier League, but you know, we've just gone up against a team who were in the top, forgive me, top four in the Premier League at the minute, Aston Villa, who were flying, and it took them until the 86th, 87th minute to score a deflected goal. I think it's a good marker. It's a better marker going into Tuesday than that Coventry game.
Me putting the two up there, by the way, it was their second in the league.
Second, yeah, there you go.
Not 2 minutes, it was our second in the league. but, I thought we put ourselves up very well against a very, very good Villa team, who I have said before the game, I think they'll win the cup this year. But yeah, I thought we did all right.
Don't die on us, Steve.
Trust that'll happen.
Does somebody want to take over while Bob Fleming gets sorted out?
So it's a COVID den in that studio.
Oh, I tell you what.
Dear me.
This scarf on your mush tomorrow.
Well.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Go on, you can carry on.
Yeah, it just seems so sort of inopportune for you to start to speak and then.
Brilliant. The only time I'm ever on camera and that happens, I swear to God. Never mind, eh?
Yeah. Brilliant.
Right.
Okay. Anyway, what were you saying?
I want to talk about the goal. Because I didn't know how I'd feel when the goal went in. Because I knew it was coming. But I didn't know how it'd feel. And I was absolutely gutted when the goal went in. I really was. I thought, that's a cruel way to go. Out the cup, I suppose. But, yeah basically, how did you feel about it?
Yeah, it was because, you know, we'd fought so hard. We worked hard to sort of keep them out first half. We'd rode our luck a little bit with them hitting the post just before they scored. Glover made some outstanding saves. And it just, after all that effort, it just seemed cruel. So, I'll go back to what I said. I don't think many Borough fans would have welcomed a replay, especially with our injury list and our fixture congestion. But you would have took it, you know, you would have took it. But it was just cruel how they scored that deflected goal.
Well,
if we didn't have this semi-final tomorrow, we'd be a lot more devastated over that result.
Yeah,
I probably wouldn't have been over it. But we can quickly move on because we've got arguably a bigger game to fry, so to speak. So I think we can safely say we can move on quite quickly from that defeat. I was more gutted for Glover, actually, because I thought he was absolutely phenomenal in goal. Yeah. It's probably his best game for us.
Yeah, definitely.
And the way it looked like it even might have took a double deflection, a last little nick at the end just to take it away from him. So it nestled right in the corner. But obviously, Latte got his big backside in the way.
Yeah, it was the spin one.
He uses that to his advantage, though, when he's holding defenders off, so we'll forgive him.
He doesn't have, but... Yeah, it was just good in the way it happened. I mean, because I mean, you rightly said there, Tom Glover was superb Saturday. That saved me in the second half. I mean, was it John McGinn? Was it John McGinn?
Yeah, McGinn flashed one left foot and tipped it right over.
Yeah, I was right behind that.
Locked down first half for one as well.
Yeah,
right on side.
Yeah, he made some really good saves on Saturday. And
yeah, he's done brilliant.
Yes, he's fitted in really well because we all admittedly said when you came in for Dieng, we were a bit worried about how he'd do. Because we haven't seen quite a lot of him, but I think he's been brilliant. I really do. I can't really fault what he's done so far. But it was a bit of a. I mean, because I was right behind Cash's shot as well, and I just watched it loop, and then loop back in, and I was like, oh no, that's going in. And then just see them Villa fans going absolutely mental. I was like, oh, I envy you. Yeah. It wasn't great.
I put a tweet out about the Villa fans. I thought they were brilliant. It's great to see. It's one of the things I miss about you know, being in the top flight. It's the amount of fans that away teams bring. It's just brilliant. Mm. There's some big sides there. And Tottenham last season when they brought 4,000 or 5,000, the night game when Josh got the goal to knock them out. It's brilliant to see. And it just makes for a better atmosphere. When you got that banter with the South Stand as well, it's perfect, really.
That was great. It was great that night as well, wasn't it, against Tottenham?
I was talking to some Villa fans in the Central before I'd done my pub crawl, and there was quite a few Villa fans in there. I was talking to a couple of them and they were sort of really complimentary about our club and the allocation that they got and the ticket prices they were charged. And they just said, you know, it was always going to sell out because a lot of their fans struggled to get tickets for Premier League away games because of you know, they're doing so well and they don't get as many as 4,000 or so, whatever we give them. So they were grateful, you know, and that's why they said we sold out. It's 3 hours away. It's £20, and they were really grateful of the ticket price that the Borough put out.
Yeah. I mean,
we've built up a little relationship with Villa now, haven't we? With the crossover with Danks and obviously signing a couple of players, and we've managed to get Azaz for is it 2 million? Bargain fee, really. Seen enough of him on my computer to know that he's going to be brilliant. So I've got this awful feeling that when Hackney does inevitably move on, it might be Villa, which I wouldn't mind too much if he is to move on, but I'd love to see him here. for a few more years yet. Hopefully playing for us in the Premier League.
I would, but it's inevitable. If we don't go into the Premier League, that's where he'll end up. And whoever it is, whether it be Villa, whether it be, because I mean, obviously he's been playing well for the England under 21s. So wherever he ends up, I just hope the club get the right sort of fee for him. It should be a big fee, hopefully.
Yeah.
Just off the old fax machine.
Yeah, pizza lammy.
Yeah, definitely. I've got no doubt that we'll get the right fee now. I think we've got the right recruitment team in place now. I think Kieran Scott does a really good job what he does. So, right. Quickly before I go on to transfer news, because Bandy's spoke me a bit about Finnazaz. Right, man of the matches. JD, I'll start with you. Who was your man of the match for Saturday?
Oh, it was difficult because there was a lot of really good performances. Obviously, you mentioned Glover. I thought Bangura played well. Balassa played well. But my choice was Matt Clark. I thought he was fantastic. You know, he didn't deserve to be on the losing side, but he can sort of be proud of the display that he put in against some quality forwards.
Absolutely. Bandy?
Completely agree with John. Matt Clark, I think he's been great since he come in. Been brilliant. He looks a little bit unorthodox at times, but he's quite assured on the ball, actually, when you really look at how he plays. He's got a great left foot. He always finds his man. He's fantastic in the air for us, you know, clearing corners. So he's been exceptional, really. Thought he was brilliant in the West Brom game as well. Yeah, so Matt Clark, closely followed by Bangura and Glover.
There you go. There you go.
Out of solidarity for the old ginger, I think I would have gone Matt Clark myself, but I'll be honest with you, I'm gonna go with Glover. You know, I didn't rate him early on in the season. Said on here, I didn't rate him. And with Dieng going obviously off to African Cup of Nations, you know. Is Dieng injured, or is he seeing his number one spot possibly, you know, being competed for? Because Glover's turned into prime Mark Crosley. I'm going to have to go Glover. I thought some fantastic saves. Really cruel on the goal. You know, the spin's done him, but from the deflection. But no, I was more than impressed with him.
Yeah, I mean, I was massively impressed with Matt Clark, I really was. But I'll even it up and I'll say Tom Glover as well, because I thought Glover was superb Saturday. I thought he commanded his box really well as well. He wasn't nervous. I mean, I was a bit nervous when they were closing us down, but he didn't look like he was flapping, or he was like a bit unsure about what he was about to do, and he still got rid of the ball quite well, and there wasn't mistakes in there. So, yeah, I thought Tom Glover was superb Saturday, so I can't really disagree with that. So, right. So, Bandy's just spoiled it for me, but before the Villa game, we did make a signing. if you didn't guess who it was. Young Finn Azaz from Aston Villa, we have to say officially. People have seen him at Plymouth, obviously on loan this season. Scored an absolute cracker against us as well. If people weren't down on the south coast earlier in the season, I was, because as soon as he hit it, I went, that's in. It was just absolutely arrowed. It was beautiful, brilliant goal. And he scored another one. Was it last weekend? He scored another one against
Cushion volley.
Yeah, against Watford. It's a
phenomenal goal. Yeah, against Watford.
So go on then, Bandy, since you've watched him on your computer, tell us all about Finn Azaz.
Well, he just looks like that sort of. Here's a good word for you: quintessential. You having that?
Whoa.
Yeah.
I'm having that, like.
And a quintessential sort of left winger who likes to drift in on his right foot and clip shots into the top corner. If he can do five or six of them for us, we're in business. He just looks like he's a natural talent. He can use both feet, not afraid to get a shot off. That's one of the criticisms I probably would have with our midfielders. There was a couple of times, maybe the other night, Balazs have found himself in a good position. 20, 25 yards out. Have a go. You know, try and test the keeper. So I think Finn Azaz will be, you know, a breath of fresh air in that department. I think he can travel with the ball as well. He can take players on. He just looks like he enjoys playing and he wants the ball all the time. So I could probably see him playing possibly left side, coming in on his right, or maybe as a 10. You just never know. But we need to have a look at him over a few games to see where we can, you know, settle him in best.
Absolutely. And by the way, how can you say quintessential and then struggle to say criticism? I mean, you know what I mean? I mean, that's some talent you've got there, mate. But no,
he's,
you're absolutely
also
right.
Also aesthetically pleasing. There's one for you.
Wow, we are.
You've been listening to Simon Jordan, haven't you?
I do, actually, but I don't understand what he says.
No one understands.
Andy, that's repetition. You've used that before.
Oh. There you go. Richard Whiteley in the corner's told you. You can't use that word again. John Don, what do you think about the signing? I mean, I think it's a massively positive signing. It's a really... I mean, Plymouth are absolutely gutted they've lost him as well. So, yeah, I'm quite happy with this one.
Well, he's the right age. He's an attacking midfielder. He scores goals. He assists. You know, he's got one of the best stats for a midfielder in the Championship. I mean, and we got him for £2 million. What's not to like about that? I mean, not all transfers work, but if he does, it's an absolute bargain, an absolute seal. And if he doesn't, we've not lost a great deal. We'll be able to move him on. But it was a great signing for Borough. You look at our midfield. Howson is 35-year-old, you know. So I mean,
he's 56, that man.
Yeah, got your Cooper best certificate.
Yeah, yes.
Playing like a 21-year-old.
Amazing.
And don't get me wrong, he seems to be getting better every season, doesn't he? So, I mean, he's a Benjamin Button type of player. But there's going to be a time when, because of the rigours of the Championship, we have to give him a rest and push him down to the betting shop and the news agents to get his fags and put his bets on. But this lad's a ready-made replacement, and for £2 million, bloody hell, we done really well there. Absolutely fantastically well. Because I remember we were saying about the January transfer window, we hope that the signings that we do bring in could be permanent, you know, that rather than the loan deals that we relied so heavily on last year. And if we can get a couple more in, and if they're permanent signings, then if we don't make it into the playoffs and go up this year, then we've got them players for next year, and we'll be flying.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is it safe to say that the majority of our summer signings are now maturing and a little bit more settled into the team?
Absolutely.
I think they're just starting to turn the screw a bit, and particularly Engel. I mean, seen him have a few shockers early season. I thought, what have we brought in here? But to his credit, he's fought back well. He seems to have the right attitude, the right mentality. If he has a bad game, he does his best to eradicate that and make sure he plays, you know, far, far better in the next game. And he just keeps improving. Bangura is surprising me.
Not all signings can be successful, but it seems that the majority that we've brought in the summer, after a difficult start, have settled down and they're proving the worth. And let's face it, we haven't spent a vast amount of money. We've been quite sensible, so I'm quite pleased. And Alex Gilbert hasn't had a great deal of game time. And the club look like they're moving him on during this window to get experience elsewhere. He may come back. He may come back a better player. We don't know. He may not make it at the Championship level again. We don't know. But I've been quite happy with the recruitment so far and how the players are performing. Vandenberg is a star, absolute star.
Everywhere he plays.
He'll go to the very top, yeah. I'm pretty certain.
Oh, God, yeah. He looks a one in a million signing, Vandenberg. He looks absolutely superb. He's the pick of the summer signings for me. I know I said earlier in the season I thought Dieng was our star signing, and he's been brilliant, but Vandenberg looks He looks like a Rolls Royce at 19. It's absolutely ridiculous. He looks so, so good. And he looks so strong as well. He's still got to grow into his stature as well. He's still got a bit more growing to do. And he's going to be a monster. He's going to be an absolute monster when he's older. Hopefully he's still wearing
I think he could play anywhere.
Yeah.
I think you could put him in midfield in time. A bit like what John Stones does. He just slots into different positions. So comfortable on the ball. He's so aware of who's around him and who's making what run, so he can just lay the ball up nicely for them.
Yeah.
Brilliant, brilliant player. So good to watch.
Oh, absolutely.
Very elegant.
Oh, absolutely. Ben's a good word. Come on.
For 19, he's a future captain, whether it's at Borough or elsewhere. Because the first game I saw him, first competitive game I saw him was against Bradford in the Carabao Cup, one of the early rounds. And he was marshalling the defence. His eyes were everywhere, scanning, looking for opposition moves to try and thwart them. He's a very intelligent player for 19-year-olds.
Oh, really, really intelligent. He's class. He could be world class. That boy, he really could be.
You could see him striding out at the San Siro or somewhere with ease.
Yeah.
You know, he's got. There's a bit of Woodgate about him. He's just comfortable on the ball. And, you know, when Woodgate was at his peak and he moved to Madrid, and he's just got that maturity for a young kid. I think he's fantastic.
Yeah. I mean, Woodgate doesn't like talking about Madrid, but, you know, we'll leave that one there. But, no, you're absolutely right. He's been brilliant. He's, one of your picks for the season so far. Superb player. But, Danny, I'll quickly come to you because you put the other one out there as well. Hayden Coulson, he's moved over to Blackpool for the rest of the season. Are you going to miss him?
Yeah. No, it's a strange one because obviously we know Woodgate likes him. Woodgate gave him his chance here.
Yeah.
And it looked as though it was over for him, and then they give him a new two-year. Was it a two-year deal in the summer?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
And you thought, okay, they're going to give him a push. And at one point, it looked like he was going to get the push because we didn't have a left-back. And then we signed Engel and Bangura. And then the next time you've seen him, he's coming on for 5 minutes against Aston Villa. We've never, he appeared on the bench once or twice. But I think, is he 25 now and this is his sixth loan?
Yeah.
And you think it's really what you need to do now. He needs to make that loan. He needs to impress on that loan and he needs them to buy him. He needs a club where he's going to play. Because with all due respect to him, I don't think at 25, if he hasn't done it by now, I don't think it's going to be here. And if they just signed him, if they give him, you know, put another contract and get a couple of quid on him, bear in mind he's 25 and he's been here for X amount of years. Mm. I don't know.
He's gone to a division below, so that might suit him. He's had opportunity here, but you know we've got better players in his position. Let him move on. At 25-year-old, of course, you want to play football, don't you? You just don't want to be languishing in the reserves or just not even getting a kick. So hopefully he can knuckle down at Blackpool, do well, and if the club gets some money off him, fair play.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good luck to him.
Yeah, good luck to him. It reminds me a bit of Tuba Akpom because he took 6 or 7 loans, didn't he, before he really found a home, I suppose, with us. And he maybe should try to find his right level, his right club, you know, somewhere he can settle in and make a name for himself because there is something about him. Because when he first came into the Borough squad, I thought he was all right. So, yeah, good luck to him. I know he does really well at Blackpool. I know Blackpool are on a bit of a push towards the playoffs in League One. So, you know, hopefully that'll give him a bit of experience as well.
He's probably a better winger than he is a defender,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
I think Carrick's been fair to him this season, to be honest. He did give him a run, but he was at fault for a lot of our goals.
Yeah.
A lot of the goals that we conceded were coming from crosses on his side, and he was just nowhere near his man. He wasn't getting out quick enough, which was a big problem at the start of the season. And then he's gradually sort of phased Engel in. Now he's starting to phase Bangura in. So I think the two latter players have overtook Coulson by miles. So he's made that decision Been quite ruthless and moved him on. But yeah, good luck to him. I think Blackpool might actually be a good fit, and I hope he does really well.
Yeah, I hope Blackpool sign Jed Spence as well, you know, and then they can pair up again. And
where do we start with him?
I need another podcast for him. He's had a shocker.
Neil was right.
Yeah, he's had a shocker, that boy. He really has. You can smoke all the cigars all you want, kid, but if your attitude's not right, you're going nowhere. You're going absolutely nowhere. He's proving it now.
To be fair, he won't give a toss. He's quids in, isn't he? You know, he's made a fortune. But you know, it's been proven at Fulham. That's why he left Fulham, because of his attitude. Middlesbrough moved him on because of his attitude. Tottenham sent him to Leeds. Leeds sent him back. You just wonder where he's going to end up.
So, I mean, if you look at the managers he's played for: Warnock, Wilder, Woodgate, Conte, Farker. They can't all be wrong, can they?
No.
I think the writing was on the wall.
There's a serious issue there. There's a serious attitude problem.
Yeah, and the writing was on the wall in August when he used to wear gloves.
Spot on, Jamie. Spot on, mate.
Exactly.
He'd be adjusting his gloves and the winger would be flying past him. You're like, when are you going to track back, mate? And it's quite funny now because Leeds fans are now starting to see the real Jed Spence, because they were giving it to me both barrels when they signed him, thinking they've got the best right back in the league, purely on his form at Forest. But whatever Steve Cooper did there, you know, he did get the best out of him, but it was too infrequent for us. We can't be having players like that.
No, absolutely not. That's all I'm going to say on that boy. I'll leave it there. Right, should we preview Chelsea? Should we have a chat about Chelsea tomorrow night? Chelsea don't come into this in the best of form. I know they've just won the FA Cup, beat Preston 4-0. But they did. I mean, this was a fascinating stat I found out on New Year's Eve. They ended the year with the most losses in the Premier League in 2023. I think it was 19 losses. That's a ridiculous amount of games to lose, especially for a team of that calibre. They've spent that much money on whatever they've spent it on. But John Don, I'm looking at tomorrow, and I think you're looking at this in the same way. This is, it's one of the biggest games we've had in recent years, and this is a real chance to get into the tie, and just at least take it to Stamford Bridge, and you know, let's see what happens from there. But I feel we've got to get stuck into these tomorrow night, because if we don't, Will you regret that we haven't done it?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think we do have a good chance, you know. it would be a lot easier for us if we had all our injured players fit. And we didn't have suspensions or cup-tied players. But your hand's been dealt, and you've got to sort of like utilize what you've got. I still think we can hurt them tomorrow. Their away form isn't very good. With what's planned at the stadium by the supporters groups, it should be a brilliant atmosphere from kickoff. So I'm just hoping that the team show the same patience, commitment, creativity as they did against Villa, but we have a little bit more luck in the final third of the field. I'm looking forward to it so much. It's a big, big game, and I think we can win.
Yeah, there's not many tickets left as of now. I think there's only single seats dotted around the stadium now, so it's not many. Yeah. But Bandy, last time we played these over two legs, not in single game, two legs was 1988. And you're going to kindly tell me what happened back then.
I was at both games and it was absolutely fantastic. Resulted in promotion, didn't it? In the old playoff format, which I still quite like, actually. It'd be nice to have a couple of seasons trying that one and see if we would get back up via that route. But obviously we had, you know, Rioch in charge then, Pally, Mogger, Coops, Bernie, Dean Glover in the midfield. It was just hammy. Rippers, and then we got the win at home, which was enough to take us back there. And obviously, Jury got the only goal there, but it was enough to get us through. And then the rest is history. And they played us. Was it last season or season before? They beat us 2-0 in a pretty much a flat non-event game.
Yeah.
But this tomorrow night will be completely different. I don't think they'll fancy travelling up the Teesside on hopefully a cold, wet, windy, rainy evening with a full house, scarves galore, Borough bang at it, resolute as ever. I think we can do quite well. Take a slender lead at best, at worst, a draw. I don't think we'll lose tomorrow night. I say that with a lot of confidence. I think we'll set up very, very similar, if not the same team, barring Rodgers, who's suspended. I think we'll probably go three across, maybe start Latte just behind Josh, the two wing backs again.
Yeah.
There's a case for Fry coming back in, but I think he might persevere with Engel as that left-sided centre-back again and play Bangura left, because they did ever so well. I think it'd be a bit unjust if they didn't get another start and were given another opportunity to try and rectify. Well, when I say the wrongs of the Villa game, there wasn't much wrong, but obviously we lost the game. But this time we might get a bit of luck in front of goal. Looking at the Chelsea team, they do play a very, very rigid 4-2-3-1. Pochettino doesn't really budge from that. He'll play Sterling probably left wing. Palmer will probably go central, and Mudrick will go right. So you've got three players there that we need to combat. So I think he will go three. He might even put Howson, Ballas and Hackney in that middle three and give Hackney the opportunity to drive forward with the ball, because he does that better than anybody in our team and probably in the league, to be honest. Yeah. He is a Rolls-Royce of a player. And so he could be integral to what we do tomorrow night, and hopefully he might even get a goal.
I mean, fingers crossed. I mean, I'll have everything crossed tomorrow. It's going to be so nervy to watch, but I can't wait to be involved in it. I can't wait to be part of that North Stand tomorrow night. But, I mean, you alluded to it earlier, Dally. Obviously, I mentioned to you, after watching them against Wolves, we can beat these. You know, this is not the same Chelsea team we played 2 years ago, is it? This is a different... I know there's bigger stars potentially now than they had. Obviously, money-wise and profile-wise, obviously, Enzo Fernandez, just to pull one out of the hat. But this is a real opportunity, isn't it?
I think it is. I think, you know, you can put the money and everything to one side, and the leagues that were apart. You know, it's Chelsea at the end of the day. There's a bit of a history there. You know, you go back to you know, Bandy's explaining there about the playoffs. You go back to, you know, certainly through myself growing up, I remember the cup finals, the hurt against them. And I'll be honest with you, when the draw came out, the team I didn't fancy was Liverpool, for obvious reasons. And then you think, okay, I'd probably rather have Fulham, if I'm honest. And then you see the draw and you go, okay, we've got Chelsea. But you've been my source of information for Chelsea, because I haven't really watched them that much. I might have seen them on the odd Super Sunday here and there, but they're not the Chelsea. You know, I listen to radio stations and national radio, and they're not the Chelsea they were. And the bits that you've got to take confidence from it. You look at previous League Cup semi-finals we've had, certainly in my lifetime. You know, we were First Division, Liverpool were Premier League. You know, we had Paul Merson in the team. We managed to do them over two legs. You look at even when we were in the Premier League, we beat the Invincibles. We beat them twice. You know, who says it can't happen again? And I think, you know, it'll be rocking in there tomorrow. I think the atmosphere, you know, you've got the Red Faction doing their thing. I think it's fantastic. You know, that we've put out about the scarves. It's been well received by everyone. You know, I saw it just before I come on. You know, 527 odd shares. The club are putting it out. You know, if you haven't got a scarf, get your mum's bed sheet out or something and dye it red. Do what you need to. Just, I think it'll be, it'll be some atmosphere in there. And I think if we can take something out that first game, to cling on to and go into the second game, then yeah, it'll be some night. We should, by all means, you know, we on paper we shouldn't get there, but it's the club, isn't it? And there's no VAR.
I know, that's the best part, isn't it? There's no VAR. I can't wait, John. We said scarves, not hats.
No, but scarves in the wash.
Looking good, John.
Are you doing a bit of advertising? Is that a new hat that's now available?
Oh yeah, of course. It's in red and white, and anyway, it's been on social media. People know about it. But yeah, I mean, it was when I can't remember what match it was, Dally, that you said we should encourage people to bring a scarf. And I dug out some old photographs of the Holgate on important matches. There looks fantastic, and I put it on social media, and yeah, it's absolutely sort of flown, you know. I'm really hoping that people buy into it. What I'd like to say is, like, I think what I'll put out later on Twitter, and what we should do is, as the players sort of enter the field of play, mm-hmm. when they come out at the start of the game, Pig Bag will be booming around the stadium, and we should then, everybody who's brought the scarf, hold it up above the heads. You can still sing along to Pig Bag. For the players to come out into that stadium and see three quarters of it in red and white scarves held up, and the South Stand, the display that the lads in there are doing.
Yeah.
I just think it'll sort of like puff the chests, you know, like they'll take deep breaths. And that's what I'd like people to do. And then when it comes to the kickoff, if we just belt out with our scarves aloft again, we're the finest team in football the world has ever seen. If we can get all the ground singing that, it will be absolutely deafening and intimidating to the Chelsea players. And that's what I think we should do. So I'm hoping people get the message and people can join in.
Absolutely. And I know John Foster listening to this as well. He's listening to our podcast. Turn the music off with about 10 minutes to go before kickoff. Let us create it. Let us create the atmosphere. It's our atmosphere to create. It's our atmosphere to intimidate them with. They're not going to fancy it. They're really not going to fancy this tomorrow. Because end of the day, this is their season. This is their season. They've got, I know they've got the FA Cup. They may go on and run in that, maybe. But guarantees wise, this is it for them. This is it. You know, you can count on one hand the amount of trophies that Pochettino's won. He's dying to win a trophy. You know, one of the managers that's failed at PSG with that unbelievable team. Don't ask me how. But, you know what I mean? This is their season. And if we can get stuck into them and we make them known that they're not just in a cup tie, they're in a game, they'll feel it. They really will feel it. And their away record is nothing. It really is nothing. And this is not us expecting anything tomorrow. This is us wanting something tomorrow. And we'll just show that what we're made of, you know, and give it everything. And I really can't wait. I really, really can't wait to be amongst it. It's going to be something
else.
The
thing is, as a collective, as fans, we can really do some damage to their team. Because mm-hmm. I just don't think Chelsea are a team at the moment. They're just a bunch of very, very talented individuals with a fantastic manager who is still searching for that formula. They are nowhere near the finished article. So now is the time for the fans to stand up. The players will perform. I don't think they'll freeze. And it bodes well for a good positive result for us, and we generally do well in these two-legged affairs in semis. So we've seen Newcastle turned over, Liverpool, the Invincibles. So I think it'll be a good positive result for us.
Absolutely, go on, John.
I was going to say the same thing, Bandy. On paper, they're a great team individually, but they're not playing well. They haven't got, they don't seem to have a formation that suits them just yet. So now is a great time to play them. And with the players on the pitch and 30,000 Borough fans really getting behind the team, it can be one hell of a night, you know. Collectively, like you said, collectively we can do it. And I'm not saying I'm confident, but I think we can do it. I've got a level of, shall we say, optimistic hope that we can pull it off tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah. absolutely. That's what we've all got, and that's why I said we're not expecting to win tomorrow. We just we've all got a bit of hope. We've all got something that says we think we could do this. You know, all we're asking is just let us take it in the second leg. You know, let four and a half thousand of us go down to Stamford Bridge and do our job behind that goal in a couple of weeks. And you just never know. You just never know. Football's a strange game at times. You know, I've seen some really strange things in football. This could be one of them. So, I'm just praying. I'm just hoping and praying. Just keep us in it. You know what I mean? So, right, here we go then. Prediction time.
I think the players will know the roles tomorrow night. They'll be bang at it. They'll know who they're marking, what runs they're going to be making.
Yeah.
They'll be absolutely watertight. So it's just keeping out them key performers. If we can keep Sterling quiet, Puri will start, and keep Palmer quiet, then I don't see much else that's going to cause us too much of a threat. They have Saucedo and Hernandez just sitting quite deep. So I don't see them getting forward without them two star players. So if we can nullify them, we've got every chance. We really have.
Absolutely. Go on, John.
I just going to say, I mean, we have to show a level of patience. You know, they're going to try and take the sting out of them, like the fervent support that we will start the game with. We've just, as fans, got to have a level of patience and just keep behind the team. And should we go behind, or should something happen that sort of like goes against us, then, you know, we don't lose our voices. We gain an extra voice. We shout louder. We continue. We back our players for the full 90 minutes and just see what we can achieve together.
Exactly. It's you know, Carrick's put it out there today. He's told the fans, we need you more than ever tomorrow night. You know, we know there's going to be so many difficult situations we're going to find ourselves in tomorrow. And he's right, because as much as they're in not in the greatest of form and not in the place they should be in the Premier League, they're still Chelsea. They've still got all the superstars. They've still got all the money they've put into that squad, and World Cup winners and Champions League winners and whatever else you could throw at them. I just feel that tomorrow's got the smell of one of those cup nights, one of those special cup nights under the lights of the Riverside. And
yeah, the pressure's not on us, it's on them. We're the banana skin. You know, we've just signed Finn Azaz for £2.5 million. And, you know, Sterling's just put an extension on his house for £3 million. Do you know what I mean? These are the levels that we're on. So,
brilliant comparison, that, Jamie. Like that.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? So we go in, we're the banana skin. Absolutely. They don't want egg on the face.
Yeah.
Let's just go and enjoy it.
There you go. And
As fans, we don't underestimate. We cannot underestimate our role to play tomorrow. We've got to give it our all.
Exactly.
It's a cup semi-final. You know what I mean? Well, if you can't get up for that, well, you can't get up for anything.
Be the 12th man.
Exactly. All of us.
The Harry and Matt, the 12th man. Look at that hat. Love it.
Do you remember when Moggy used to say that the whole gate end used to suck the ball over the line into the goal? That's what both stands need to do tomorrow.
Yeah. Let the red
faction and see what happens.
Let the red faction and the south stand do their job first half. We'll do the job second half, and we'll drag the boys over the line. Whatever the result may be, it's fine, because you know we've done unbelievably well to get this far. So I'm so proud of them, and I can't wait to be amongst it tomorrow. So that being said, prediction time. Here we go, Danny. I'll start with you.
1-1.
Goal scorer.
I didn't need to be Mystic. Didn't need to be Mystic Meg for that.
No.
I'll go 1-1, and I'll tell you it will score from, I don't know, Matt Clark. Header. Bang.
Okay.
He's due a goal, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. Bandy, I'll come to you, Bandy.
I think I alluded to it before. I'm going 1-0 Borough. I'm going to say Hackney. I don't think he'll be captain tomorrow, though.
No.
I think it'll be Johnny.
Yeah, Benjamin Button will be captain tomorrow. John Don?
Well, a la 1988, I'm going 2-0 Borough. Latte Lath to score any time.
There you go. I'm
Trevor Sini get the other.
Sorry?
Trevor Sini to get the other.
Yeah.
He got the header, didn't he?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Clever, yeah, Trevor.
Vital goal as well, obviously. You know, a vital goal. Brilliant.
I mean, I'm going to go a different goal scorer. I think Colburn will score tomorrow night. Loves a goal in a big game, Colburn. But I'm going the same scoreline. I'm going 2-0. I fully believe that we're going to do this tomorrow night. And just allow yourself to picture it. A 2-0 lead to take to Stamford Bridge in 2 weeks. I warn you now, John, I won't be able to walk off that bus.
Yeah, and 4,500 Borough fans protecting that lead down there would be brilliant.
It's going to be amazing. It's going to be absolutely amazing. I can't wait. There you go. Preview done. The talking's done. Nothing more needs to be said. It's go time tomorrow. Bring it on. Boys, I see you all tomorrow night. Bring your scarves.
You certainly will. Don't forget your scarf.
If you need a hat, John Don's got hats. Popular colours are available.
Take some cough medicine. You can't be croaking over everybody in the morning.
I've got plenty of cough medicine at home. I'll be absolutely fine. So don't worry about me. My voice will sound like this by full time. Don't worry about that. But I'll be raring to go. But yes, boys, I'll see you tomorrow night. People for watching, listening, subscribing, liking. Thank you for listening and getting in touch and keeping us going. And yeah, if you can't get to the Riverside tomorrow, it's live on telly. If you can, bring your voice, bring your scarf, bring your passion.
Yeah, let's all play our part.
Yeah, it's ours to enjoy. Bring it on, up the Borough. I'll see you tomorrow.
See you.
Cheers, lads. See you later.
Up the Borough.
See you, lads.